Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Gamer Heroes. This is episode 17, the week of May 10th. I am Derek, one of your two regular hosts. John will be joining me in just a minute. We have a really exciting episode for you guys this week. John and I were able to sit down and talk with, not in person, but online, two of the original co-founders who are still with the company, Yacht Club Games, makers of Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight, as some of you may or may not know, is a great retro-style platformer that released back on Steam, Wii U, and 3DS, and has since expanded to basically every platform that is still for sale. And their new Spectre Knight expansion has just come out, part of Treasure Trove, and it was a big free update to anybody who already had the game. And it's also available now on Nintendo Switch. So we're going to cut over to the interview with John and myself, and then Ian and Sean from Yacht Club Games. So sit back, enjoy. We'll be back in a bit. All right. Well, we are here with Ian and Sean of Yacht Club Games. Why don't you guys go ahead and introduce yourselves, tell us what it is that you do for Yacht Club Games, and then we'll dive in.
All right. My name's Ian, and I'm primarily a programmer, more on the gameplay side. So I make Shovel Knight walk, run, jump, and use abilities, as well as bosses and enemies and a whole bunch of stuff. But we have a rather focused company here, so I also do a lot of other stuff here at the company, like run the Twitter account or answer emails or set up a bunch of boring stuff.
Right. And I'm Sean. And I did game design and direction on Shovel Knight. And I kind of like oversee a lot of stuff. I'd say like Ian was saying, everyone here kind of does everything. So even though I said like I'm like the designer, really everyone does the design, and it's more like I just kind of like compile it. It's really very collaborative here. But hopefully that gives you an idea a little bit about at least like kind of what we are.
Oh, no, absolutely. So have you guys been with Yacht Club since the Kickstarter?
Yeah, we're the founders. Well, we're two of the five founders.
Yeah, so we've been here day and date. Even before it was even known, we were scurrying about trying to put our ideas together.
It's true.
Well, that must be pretty exciting for you guys. Did you ever think back when you were launching the Kickstarter that it would have grown to what it has become and be on so many platforms, and you're still releasing expansions?
I mean, we definitely had hopes that it could be big, right? But we didn't bank on it. Like, it wasn't a surefire thing at all. But we thought it would be, we wanted it on everything. We wanted it on every platform. We wanted it to be something you could find and play on your favorite system. But I would say I'm like continuously surprised by the amount of like love and support I've seen the game get.
Yeah, and how long it keeps going.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Shovel Knight has a way, way long tail.
Yeah, like we've been working on this game really since the end of 2012.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Kickstarter was in 2013. Now here, what year is it? 2017.
Yep.
We're still working on Shovel Knight.
Like after Plague Knight, thinking like, wow, it's so unique that we went back to a project and worked on
sure.
it like another year.
Right.
Like, we've never done that before. It's so odd. But now, it's gone.
A new project, please.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So yeah, because you guys have Spectre of Torment now, and then on the website, I saw something about a King's Knight campaign.
Yeah.
So if you're listening right now, Spectre of Torment is the most recent campaign, which is out like on 90% of platforms, and hopefully is out on the remainder of platforms like within the coming weeks.
Yes,
so if you own Shovel Knight, it has updated to receive an entirely new campaign starring Spectre Knight. And we went all out. This is like new levels, new story, music, and like the works.
Yeah, it's way bigger than Plague Knight.
Yeah, if you skip Plague Knight, or you're like, I'm kind of good. I would implore you to reconsider and check out Spectre Knight.
Yeah, it's a full, it's like a full on game. It's a real new game, and it's cool. And it's, if you already have Shovel Knight, it's free. So, hey, there's that.
What else are you, and King Knight, you're right, is the finale. That's the last and final campaign that's happening here at Yacht Club.
Yeah, like right now, it's being worked on.
Yes.
As we speak.
I can see it. I see it right now.
Right.
So that's something that's really interesting. We've actually had a couple podcasts on this. So you guys make a lot of your DLC available for free. And we actually had a whole podcast about games that get released and they're not the full game. And you have to pay all this extra to get parts of the game that you feel you should have had. So I think that's a bold move. And kind of want to know a little bit more on... You guys sound like you obviously enjoy playing games, so it sounds like you had the gamer in mind.
Do you give us does the way we talk give away that we like to play games?
A little bit. I mean, I'm not sure. There was the beef jerky story, so.
I mean, for us, a big focus, even when we were like these were all set into motion by our Kickstarter with stretch goals. And so that's like what kind of got us into this crazy situation to begin with.
Sure.
But even knowing that, we knew that we wanted each of these updates to feel like they could be their own standalone thing. So it didn't feel like you were playing work in progress. That's something like, as somebody who plays a lot of games and makes a lot of games, I can't really be excited about early access or like checking a game out midway.
Dude, I don't even want to play a game until a year after it's released. Like, any
season passes drive us nuts.
Like for Final Fantasy, it's like they added a frame rate improvement patch.
Look, I'm three storylines into Nier Automata, and the game still like doesn't run properly on PC.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, maybe I should wait.
Same thing. It's like Zelda. Like they're adding that DLC that adds like a bunch of stuff that should have there's things like there's things like now you can create a warp point.
Yep.
Right.
That's like, well, hey, that should have been in the game from the get-go. that's weird that it's like coming so late. Yeah, I find that to be very bothersome.
That's why a lot of these in a lot of our updates for Shovel Knight, like, we're not touching the Shovel Knight campaign unless it's like adding a mode on top of it, like co-op, like body swap.
Yeah,
but like we're not going through and we're like, sorry for Iron Will, like,
right
now it's an air level, not
new
a
game
water
design
level.
Right.
Like we want to, we're like, we're trying to put these out as like conscious games that exist in and of themselves.
Yeah, and it's like it almost kind of happened backwards. Like initially we gave our Kickstarter, or we got all these goals through Kickstarter of like making the character campaigns, and then as we started working on them, they got bigger and bigger, and we kind of had to like, we had to do something about it, right? Like we had to like split the campaigns up and sell them separately. We had to figure out ways to rationalize like the activities that we were doing. One of the things that we could have just done was like done like a Symphony of the Night style like Richter mode where you're just playing the exact same game with Plague Knight, and that would have been cool too.
Yeah. No story beats, nothing major.
Yeah, it's just like another mode, right?
Right,
but instead we kind of went this whole big crazy way.
Well, I mean, you mentioned like a gamer perspective and all that, but like when we were talking about these, we were talking about other games and what they've done,
sure,
like Richter mode or like Mega Man Powered Up. And like, I don't know if you played Mega Man Powered Up on the PSP, but that's Mega Man 1 redone with the ability to play as any boss.
The whole game.
Wow.
So like, beat the game, and if you can beat Gutsman without taking damage using your Buster, you unlock like the Gutsman story path, and it changes like some of the openings. So it's like Gutsman is the robot that doesn't go haywire, and it's like, you have to help us. He's like, okay, and you play through the same stages, and it was cool. It's really neat, but really like, unless you're really in it for the long haul, do you really want to play through?
Yeah,
the
like
game?
Who beat that with every?
Right,
no
everyone,
one. No
like,
one.
Let's see Iceman's take
right
on this.
Yeah,
it's like it's not really. It's interesting, but not really like something that's that compelling by itself. And so we were excited to try and like put a new spin on it, a new mechanic,
right,
a new story beat. Like,
we didn't plan it. Like we made Shovel Knight, and it was like, this is done. And then like and then we made Plague Knight, and we're like, this is riffing off of Shovel Knight. And then when we started on Spectre Knight, it was like, well, we can't just have the same levels in there again. Like it's just going to be awful. Like no one's going to like that. So we gotta redo it. And so redo it, we did. And then the idea of like selling it separately and like rationalizing it and taking a year on it later, like that kind of happened later.
That was very much a
right. Yeah. But like it's working, right? It's like it is. It's working. It's working. I feel good. I feel good that we'll get through all of this and not lose our shirts. Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, it's kind of like we're trying to outdo ourselves and outdo expectations.
Yeah.
So it's like, what can we do that's the coolest?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, like I really like how Minecraft continued to release updates that added substantial upgrades and stuff to the content. Like, it just kept me coming back and wanting to play more. With a platformer like Shovel Knight, it doesn't really make sense to just add, like, now there's, like, 8 new relics. Or, like,
triple
like,
jump.
Yeah, right. New gem types. Like, that just doesn't make sense. So it's, like, making more content was kind of, like, our way of Minecrafting it a little bit. And also keeping the price the same price, right? Like, especially when we started working on Shovel Knight, I would say there was a lot of this race to the bottom, like iOS kind of stuff, where it's like, how cheap can a game be? Like, that's when games were like in-app purchases were like starting to, like, that became like the prevalent thing, and like DLC and like early access, like all that stuff was kind of happening around then. And so, I don't know, I think a lot of, they all bore very different fruit, and Shovel Knight is just like one of those examples. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much cheaper than what you guys had it in the Kickstarter. I mean, it was $10 got you the digital Windows version. So
yeah,
that's pretty affordable for such a big game.
Yeah. Although at that point it was like a gamble, right? It's like,
right.
You don't know who we are or what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And so,
sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's it.
So I did want to talk a little bit about the Kickstarter, since that's how you guys got started.
Sure.
So you guys ended up hitting 12 stretch goals. Was there a particular one that you were really excited about adding into the game?
I think we were excited about all of them, which is why we put them all in there, right?
Yeah,
sure,
I mean,
sure.
We approached it like any other set. And it's like we put it all on a list, talked about why it would be cool, would it really help the game.
Yeah.
And so I think we were equally, like any other feature, excited and anxious for all of them,
right?
Because it means like a lot of work, or it means like a really cool outcome. So I don't know if there's one I was like really attached to so much as just like making Shovel Knight cool.
Yeah, I mean, at that point we were just, you know, we were doing everything like on a wing and a prayer. So just the fact that the game funded, right, and then it's like $200,000.
Wow.
Well, like we could never spend that much money.
How far did that go?
Yeah. Well, we got almost all the way through the development of the original Shovel Knight.
Yeah, like 95%
of the way. Before the money all ran out. But, and then, of course, once the game came out and it started selling, that, I mean, now it's a self-perpetuating thing.
Right.
And the game, you know, the sales of Spectre Knight and Shovel Knight are enough to keep the company afloat and working on new things. And
we could spend $1 million making Plague Knight for a year. Like,
we could afford that. But that's how it is in games, right? You have to have an enormous amount of money up front because you're working on something for so long, at hoping and praying that at the end you're going to be able to recoup it.
Right. Or the trajectory.
All those man hours you guys put in there. And like, I had a friend, he had done a development company as well, and he sold it. But he did the math, and it's like, I put in so much hours, and I made less than minimum wage
at
the payoff. So
yeah.
Don't do the math. That's very easy. That's very easy to happen upon with video game development as well.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's like 20 more hours this weekend. I can get this feature up and running. Like 10 more hours of testing. Like, oh, we changed everything. Like, we should play test it again.
Right. It's got to come out. Like, it has to come out on this date. And if I work every day, or like if I don't work the weekends, then it's going to be at a level of quality where if I had just worked the weekends, then it would have been like a little bit better.
Did you guys feel under the wire when you were getting ready for the 3DS and Wii U releases?
We actually delayed it, which helped that area of it. We were originally like, you know, set for September or whatever. And we talked about it. It's like, no, it needs more time.
Right.
And so I would say the initial release, other than financial constraints, because we ran out of money and we're working out of pocket, which stresses the team out and like, on a personal
level.
Lots of ways. That was like the new problem, and it was making sure that the game was getting better. But it wasn't time at that point, it was money.
Right. Well, I would say like getting the Switch version of Spectre Knight out was more of like, we're under the wire, right? It's like, you know.
So yeah. That's a good point. So I, you know, reading all the articles and listening to all the podcasts, that development, being a developer trying to get something on Nintendo is very different this time around with the Switch. Since you guys were actually on the Wii U, how do you guys feel that has worked out?
I mean, it was a breath of fresh air as far as preparing the game for release on Switch.
For Switch, you mean?
Yeah. With our knowledge of just, like, various other areas, I definitely, like, I know a lot of ways things can go wrong, but it felt like the wind was at our backs. We could put it together. We could, like, work with Nintendo and have something that we're all happy with.
Yeah.
With not a lot of, like, fuss in between.
We had really good help and support from Nintendo. I mean, I guess kind of always, right? Like, even on the Wii U, like, they helped us out a pretty good amount.
But so, even, like, some of the normal steps that I dread when it comes to
writing a game. Like, e-manuals or whatever.
Yeah, I felt like it was definitely, like, alleviated on this run.
Definitely. It's a smoother process. I mean, Wii U and 3DS were, like, way better than the Wii. Yep. Switch has been better than 3DS and Wii U. So it's, like, yeah. So steps in the right direction. Making a platformer will be easier than ever.
That's awesome. So now, of course, you know, Shovel Knight is out on essentially every platform that I can think of that's still being made. What got you guys to start with Nintendo after the initial Windows release? Why did you start with the Wii U and the 3DS versus, you know, going for Microsoft or Sony?
Well, we actually, our initial platform announcement was PC on Kickstarter. Then 1 week in, once we were confirmed it was actually happening, we announced Wii U and 3DS. And the game came out simultaneously on PC, Wii U, and 3DS way back when. And so I would say we were already destined to be on Nintendo platforms just because, one, like, these are platforms we're super familiar with. And two, I think, like, there's a lot of players out there that we thought would be interested in playing Shovel Knight on it. It's like,
yeah, I mean,
these are systems where you're playing Super Mario Brothers 3. Like, yeah. it's not a logical leap that maybe you'd be interested in a game like Shovel Knight as well.
Yeah.
So we made it our priority.
Yeah, it's like a Nintendo. Like, it feels like a Nintendo game, I think.
Yeah.
But we also knew, like, we knew Dan Adelman over at Nintendo. Yeah. And so it was easy for us to pick up the phone and call him. We had worked, you know, we both worked at WayForward before we did Yacht Club.
I worked on launch titles for both Wii U and 3DS.
Right,
at a previous company, so we were already familiar with the hardware and pipeline.
Right, and like, so, we knew the people, and so that was all, like...
Yeah, it just made sense.
I mean, we wanted to be on everything, yes. But, like, being five people, it was really hard just to even to get it out on one platform or one console, you know, much less everything else.
For sure.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting that you guys mentioned Nintendo's, you know, being super supportive. We think that obviously, the Switch has a lot more incentive for, you know, third parties and smaller developers. I feel like they're kind of gearing it that way, considering they only had, like, one major release title, and the rest have been third party, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, indies are definitely, like, a big topic right now, for sure.
But I feel like the Switch is geared towards that. Like, I feel like they're really giving you guys a shot, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, I would say Nintendo's number one priority is always their first party titles. And I would say everything else is like the second priority, right? And I think that the biggest thing that really matters is the install base for the system. And so, like, Switch came out and it sold like gangbusters, and that was really good. So now it's less, I don't think it's about, like, indies, like, wanting, or I don't think it's about Nintendo wanting indies. I think it's about indies wanting to be on Nintendo, which you won't want to be unless there's a big install base, right?
Yeah.
So it seems to me like they all kind of work, like, it kind of works together. Like, they're being more accommodating. The install base was bigger. The store seems like it has some better, like, quality of life stuff. Like, you can find stuff more easily, and it's, like, less of a pain in the ass to buy things. And so overall, it's like, yeah, it all makes a lot more sense. I think Nintendo of America especially has, like, kind of seen the value of indie games, but I don't think in Japan, like, indie games aren't that even that much of a thing, you know? Like, I don't think there's there's no Nindies program in Nintendo of Japan, right?
Well, that clears it up, man. Thank you. Like, I'm just saying, like, what games am I going to play? Like, you think big titles, you're like, man, I've got Zelda and Mario Kart. That's about it.
Strong start.
And you got Splatoon, and there's a virtual console.
Coming out, though.
It's coming. And then, like, yeah, and then there's, I think, a pretty strong lineup. Like, I played and enjoyed Snake Pass, and is Puyo Tetris, is that third party?
Yeah, I heard a lot about that.
No, it's not indie. Is that published by Nintendo? Who made that?
I have no clue. That, Google it. Somebody get the magic
can
out.
Can anyone just make Tetris? Is that like public domain?
No, it's a partnership between the Puyo company and the Tetris company. That's what makes it so magical.
Are they going to do Tetris v. Puyo then?
I hope so.
It's like weird, right? You're like, I like Puyo Tetris, but Tetris Puyo is weird.
It's too much.
It went too far.
So obviously you guys had the big Spectre of Torment release and, you know, Treasure Trove, which is the full version of the game.
Right.
And you added some new features like the gender swap mode, for example. How did you guys prioritize some of those new features? Like a gender swap mode is really, really cool. And I can't think of another game that has that. So how did that idea kind of come together?
Well, typically, just from like the way we're doing these updates, is we had all the Kickstarter stretch goals lined up. And we knew that it's a tremendous amount of work to put out an update on any platform. It's like we have to do a lot of final testing and review. So it made sense for us that we would partner a big campaign with a big new feature as well. For Plague Knight, came alongside Challenge Mode, which is like a whole new menu and setup where you go through discrete challenges in like small chunks. And so we knew for the remaining two like side features were Body Swap Mode and Battle Mode. We knew Battle Mode is like a tremendous undertaking that's going to sweep us all up in it. But Body Swap seems like a nice complementary feature that could exist along Spectre Knight, which has a lot more like redone single player components. And
yeah,
things like that.
Like the Spectre Knight, or sorry, all the Body Swap art was done out of house. So it's not like we had our pixel artist pixeling all the characters. So it's kind of like they were on a slow burn over the course of 18 months or something. It was like,
just to give you an idea of the process, we do like the concepts and the initial model in-house. Like we look over the characters.
Yeah.
And, it's all in that article on our website, yachtclubgames.com, where you can see like the design process for a lot of these characters. So we talk about like where we want the character to go, and we draw like the initial model, which sort of, it's like the idle frame, right? It's like Shovel Knight standing or Propeller Knight like standing. And once we're happy with those, then we work with people externally to kind of make those animations for all of the animations that character can possibly do.
Right.
And they're surprisingly numerous. You'd be surprised how many like how many frames are in a Propeller Knight.
Yeah.
Little thing. Shovel Knight especially at this point.
Yeah. Just like stuff you don't notice.
Yeah.
But there's like a lot.
So you're saying a slow burn, like,
right.
It's like, hey, we have to talk about Spectre Knight's fifth boss. It's like, also check out female like Baron set.
Right. Oh, okay.
It's like, wow, cool. Can't wait to see these in game in like 9 months.
Yeah, it's like, all right, Tinker Knight's next. And so it's like we had all the art and like we made the menu, and so it was just a matter of like putting it all together and making it happen.
And making like final quality adjustments. Like, oh, this one's weird, or like this one doesn't work.
Yeah. As far as why we did it, I think just like because we thought it would be cool to make Body Swap designs, I guess. Yeah. And like Adventure Time did a thing at like not that far from that time, the Fiona and Cake episode.
Yep. I love it, man.
Yeah.
I love when they made Bubblegum Prince.
Yeah, awesome. Right.
Yeah, it's cool seeing it like in a different light. And maybe it's also neat because we have these characters that have existed for what is now a long time, and providing like a new viewpoint, or like maybe you like this character versus the other one. It's kind of like a way to get back into Shovel Knight and maybe like check it out again.
Yeah.
It also works out well. Like we hoped that Shovel Knight would be a game you play in runs. Like, you know, you beat it, you beat Shovel Knight, but like in a year from now, maybe you'll be booted up and play it on a Saturday morning just really quick. And I think Body Swap Mode is a good way to complement that, where you just want to play it like in a slightly different way, or you want to like vary it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it just keeps it fresh.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. No, that was a really cool idea. Are there any other new features or ideas to kind of add to the game that you guys are working on that you can talk about?
I mean, our trajectory has been pretty upfront, I would say.
Like, yeah,
we're mostly
King Knight.
Yeah, it's King Knight, and after that battle mode, like those are our finale. Those are our plans,
and we promise nothing more for Shovel Knight.
Right, because we have to do other things.
It's got to be. We can't do any more Shovel Knight right now.
Right. I would say the only bonus that was like completely off the charts and is now in the game is Shovel Knight is now co-op on like local co-op on all platforms.
Right.
That was something that was an opportunity we weren't expecting, but we wanted to make it happen, and now the game is stronger for it.
Yeah.
But we probably won't be looking at more features of Shovel Knight
we're going to be looking at like what new games we want
right.
to
make. What Shovel Knight 2, what's a different IP.
Yeah.
Also, the sound test mode, right? That just came out, but that was a thing that was like never part of the Kickstarter plans.
It's unclear.
Necessarily.
The Kickstarter says sound test mode, and we meant the bar, and so it exists.
Right.
We didn't want Spectre Knight handing in music sheets because we were worried about the repetition feeling of all the campaigns.
Right. It's like, now it's Oolong. Now it's the bar. Now
it's a skeleton with a photograph on his head.
Right. Like, who cares? Like,
once you start seeing these themes repeated, we were worried that players would already feel like malaise set in.
Right.
And so that's why like Spectre Knight doesn't collect music sheets, because we didn't want to justify it a third time with a backward system. And so we worked it into, we still wanted people to see all the music, especially since Spectre Knight has so much new music in it.
No kidding.
And so we blew it out into the main menu and put it on the sound test mode. And so I guess that's another surprising additional feature.
Yeah.
It's cool.
But I hope
that. Which one of you is making the music? That's a joke.
Oh.
Consider there's only like five of you and you guys do like everything.
No, you know, Jake Kaufman, who is, we were not counting in the five, but who is also a member of the team. Gosh. He just doesn't work on site. Yeah, does all the music and sound effects and also helps out a lot with story and dialogue. And, I mean, he's awesome. And also, Manami Matsumai, the original composer of the Mega Man, games.
That's cool.
Did two songs for Shovel Knight. She did Plague Knight and Treasure Knight. So that was really cool. Like that was one of our first big gets.
Wow.
Like during the Kickstarter, like we just randomly had the chance to have her do some songs.
We were elated and surprised.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, cause you think like, me and Derek here, we talk about it a lot, but like some of the best music is like Turtles in Time. Like, that's a really good soundtrack.
Sure, yeah.
Seriously. Like,
yeah.
No, I have the one on Sega and we played it and I'm just like, no, this is not as good. He opened it, he's like, dude, you gotta listen to this. It's actually really solid. Music is a big deal is what I'm trying to get at.
Music is definitely a big deal, and I think that
it sets the tone. It sets like a lot of the game in motion and keeps the energy going, even like during lulls of gameplay or like to help connect pieces and themes and tone.
That definitely gets to me in big games, like especially like a lot of open world games don't have a lot of music.
Yeah, like ambient bird chirping.
Yeah.
Like
Breath of the Wild barely had music. It's like, dude, come on, give me the like I just like put.
I'm on an adventure here.
Yeah,
sound effects. That's all you get.
Yeah. Yeah, we love having music in the game. They're like, really? It's like, really? That's like really one of like...
A+ would put in again.
Yeah, that's like one of... it's like one of the three things that comprises a game.
Absolutely. All right, so I do have, as a Nintendo fanboy, because that's kind of who I am curious. So I have the Shovel Knight amiibo, and I was trying to use it with the custom character thing, and I think I'm missing it. So what is the custom character do for me in Shovel Knight with the amiibo?
All right, I'll run it down. If you have a Shovel Knight amiibo on 3DS, Wii U, or Switch, you can scan that amiibo on any Shovel Knight profile, whether it's in progress or just start, and you'll start the game or continue the game as Custom Knight. Custom Knight is a character that gets experience points by collecting gold and unlocks new abilities from level 1 to 50 throughout the game. And so some of these abilities are like things you could find in chests as normal Shovel Knight, but a lot of them are brand new abilities specific to Custom Knight.
Like new relics and stuff.
Yes. And so these are like, I would recommend if you've already played Shovel Knight, like maybe boot up a new profile one day with Custom Knight and just like play through it and see like what surprises are in store. The fun part about it is like you'll be halfway through Explodatorium and you unlock a whole new move that you get to figure out on the spot. Or you get like a new customization, like a new armor set, a new palette, and you can kind of like mix and match different abilities and things.
That's cool in the co-op because you can like customize your Shovel Knights and make them look how you want, or have like a fire trail behind you, or like a little friend that follows you around, like a little fairy that flies around after you.
Seeing like a random screenshot, someone like just playing co-op Shovel Knight on Switch, and it's like he's a bubblegum pink fish man, and the other one's like a big burly armor man. One's throwing like an anchor and one's like turning into a rainbow ball, and it's like
awesome.
It's like, is this Shovel Knight? I don't even know
what happening.
This is.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's all you say.
Yeah,
and so it's fun. It adds like a lot of fun variety to like the grab bag that is Shovel Knight.
Yeah, I'd say so. It's almost like playing through it on like a remix mode, but there's so much new content, right? Like new relics, new armor style abilities, like
It's slightly it's the unlock order is not fixed.
Right, it's random.
So if you're playing through with a friend and you both have it, like maybe he unlocks a new ability and you unlock like a new sub weapon and you kind of try them out and compare and contrast.
Yeah, it's really awesome. You got to try it. You got to try custom.
Glide Cloud. Yeah. I'm so jealous.
It's really fun. It's like it's a different way to play the vanilla game that makes it feel more
adding sprinkles on the vanilla shovel name.
Yes. Good.
since there is an amiibo, if there was ever another Super Smash Brothers game, because I imagine there will be at some point, would you want to see Shovel Knight as a playable character?
No way.
Sean's pretty strong, but he doesn't want to see it. But
they asked us. They asked us. We said no way. Keep him out of it.
Really?
No, of course not.
I was gonna say, I'm like, no. He's being so sarcastic right now.
Yeah, like it's so farcical that we would say that's why that's the joke.
I say this every time anyone asks. No way.
I would say like that would be amazing. Like of course, like Smash Brothers is already like a treasure box of like mobility and like cool characters and moves. And to think like that even like someone's like, oh, it'd be cool if Shovel Knight was there with all these other like amazing characters. That's like a humbling thing. Like, oh, you would pick Shovel Knight out of like all these possibilities? That's like amazing.
I mean, it's like, yeah, of course. Smash is like the biggest compilation game. Like having an inclusion is like, I don't know. It's like so enormous,
with
right? Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that would be amazing. That'd be amazing. Let's try. How about we try Super Mario Maker first? They could put us in, if they put us in Mario Maker, that'd be a lot easier.
Fair enough. Yeah, that would definitely be a lot less work, I think.
Yeah. If they can put Hello Kitty and Shaun the Sheep and Baby Metal in there, they can put Shovel Knight in there.
Shovel Knight, yeah.
Come on.
That's definitely fair. So we are getting a little close on time here. Is there anything else that you guys want anybody to know about Shovel Knight? Anything else you guys are working on or anything on a personal level?
Well, I think we kind of went through our Shovel Knight sales pitch already, right?
Buy Shovel Knight.
Yeah, buy it. Spectre of Torment is available separately. Sure. Get all of the Treasure Trove edition. That is the best one.
If it interests you, yeah.
On the 3DS, the 3D, the stereoscopic 3D is really super cool, and I feel like it's underappreciated because people don't look at, like, everyone, like, I'll see someone playing Shovel Knight on the 3DS, I'm like, oh man, check out the 3D, and like, their slider is always not on. And it's
I'm just kidding, but
it looks so cool. Like there are details in the stereoscopic version of the game that you cannot see. Like literally you cannot perceive them unless they're in 3D. Like
you guys put a lot of work into it. It's really
neat. Looks so cool. Like it looks so cool. It's like I almost want to put like I want to have like a 3D Oculus support or something. Just some way that you could see the layers. Like, so we can preserve it for the future, like, when there's no more, like, 3DSs around, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. That's those are the top two things that I would want to say if I'm just blurting things out.
I would just say, if you've ever showed Shovel Knight support in the past, thank you, whether that's, like, telling your friends or posting a cool image on Twitter, like, thank you. That's, like, what keeps us going.
Yeah, Shovel Knight, like, all the Shovel Knight players and fans are, like, so supportive. They're, like, the frickin' best. We get emails, like, every day. We put them up on the wall.
Yeah. If this was a game that came out in June 3 years ago and, like, no one talked about it, like, we would not be able to do what we're doing now.
Yeah, just personally, right?
for many multitudes of reasons.
Yeah. Thank you. Like, thank you everyone.
Yeah, for being there with us on this whole crazy journey.
Yeah, and, like, we will continue to do our absolute best to try and make the absolute best things always. Like, that's all we want to do.
Yeah, and I mean, as a fan myself, I've got the 3DS version, and I really love it. And so I wanted to thank you guys for, you know, the Spectre of Torment expansion being completely free was really cool. I was expecting to drop, you know, 10 or 20 bucks on it, and that was nice. So thank you.
Well, thank you. You're welcome. Thank you for checking out the update. Thanks for, like, thinking to boot it up and try it.
Yeah, and a big part of this also, I think, is just, like, making sure that the people that play our games, like, trust that we're going to do right by them, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's worth it. I hope you liked it. We're going to keep on making cool stuff.
Absolutely.
In the future, we probably will charge for some of the cool stuff, too.
Right, yeah.
Not like King Knight and Battle Mode's already going to be part of Treasure Trove, of course.
Right.
But in the future, if, like, our next game, like, if we charge for it, don't be surprised. like a thing we're gonna
this was like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
So you'll do a season pass on top of a season pass, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, the company pass to all things Yakko.
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's like, man, I'm really glad I put $10 in that Kickstarter. Like, now that there's like 50 games coming out a year by Yakko, right, it's really paying off in dividends.
Now that Club is regularly doing trips to the moon and I get to go to the moon every year. I mean, that's got to cost him like $1 million.
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Totally worth it.
Yeah, worth it.
Totally worth it.
So thanks for coming to the moon with us, everyone. Thank you.
Well, thank you guys for being on the show. We really appreciate it. If anybody wanted to reach out to you guys, what's the best way for them to do that? Do you have a Twitter or anything?
If you wanted to talk to Yacht Club Games, our endless, boundless bundle of excitement, then you can reach us at email with support@yachtclubgames.com. You can find us at Twitter @YachtClubGames. I'm sure Facebook is a thing that exists, and we're on it, but I don't know. And if you wanted to reach us personally, I don't know. I don't have any services where I'm normally contactable.
Yeah, I guess you could try to reach out to me. I'm at ShawneeFace, YCG, on Twitter. But we're not big social media people, right? We're dorks that stay in here and make games all day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having us. Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah, it was lots of fun. Thank you so much.
All right. So that was our interview with Yacht Club Games. Thank you very much to Ian and Sean for talking with us. We really appreciate that. And I'm going to give a little shout out to Shannon for helping us organize. That is going to be it for us this week. We should be back next week, I hope, with a new episode. In the meantime, be sure to check us out at heroespodcast.com and click the YouTube link on our website. Check out our YouTube channel. We launched a new video of John and I streaming the original Contra for the NES, the original Nintendo. And it was my first time ever playing the original Contra, so you can kind of see what that looks like. So check that out. Watch the video. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You know the drill. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and drop us a review. Remember, we're still trying to do our review contest. Once we get to 10 reviews, we're going to give away a free game. So you'll just have to see what that is. All right, well, thanks everybody for listening. We will catch you next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.